Blog Talk Radio.
Services by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the director of inpatient services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and in the treatment of adults. She's also an all-time triathlete. If you're having any problems with life, or if you're having any problems breaking through that next line of in sports, give her a call at area code 813-689-2466. She'll be able to help you. Well, guys, it's another big week we just had go by. And we were talking off air about the bare-knuckle boxing. So, Armstead, why don't you give us your thoughts on that?
Yeah, having seen a few of the cards for the
bare knuckle fighting championships, the one that's actually been able to put on successful shows, not the one where Boss Rudin is currently trying to get fighters paid from that one show. That was a debacle right there. But it seems like, I'm not sure the juice is worth the squeeze there. The fights have been pretty brutal, I'd say. But also, you're seeing that the offense is limited by the fact that there's no hand protection. A lot of trainers and boxers and even MMA fighters will talk about the gloves, saying the gloves are mainly to protect your hands, not the other person's face. And I think the cuts you see with boxing and with MMA is in kickboxing are significant enough. But, you know, they don't pad the elbows, they don't pad the knees, they don't pad the feet, but they pad the hands. Well, they pad the hands because the hands really aren't strong enough to handle the type of punishment that the power that the arm can deliver. So I'm really not sure that I will tune in again to the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. They did a really good job promoting the fights and getting some interest there. And it might hang around for a little bit, but I can't see this lasting too much longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your thoughts, Bob?
I agree 100%. It's cool, kind of. I've been there, done that. Not really worth the show-up fee. I mean, when you're paying doctors for stitches and pretty much all of their people, Chris Lieben, I mean, just tons on their last card, they're all out on medical suspensions indefinitely, you know, until a doctor okays them to come back. So, I mean, you know, on a way out as a fighter, like you've got nothing left. You put in your best try at MMA or boxing or whatever, and you're obviously not very good. You're not going to go anywhere. I could see someone trying to pay rent if they had to, but man, that's not a career.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're looking at it's with Artem Lobov, who has quite a following socially, and you know he's a respected fighter because he's one of those guys in MMA that would just fight anybody, and he would, you know, at the drop of a hat he was ready to go, but he was often overmatched, and his record shows that. I think he's 13-15 as a pro MMA fighter, and after he got his release from the UFC, you could see that he was looking for a way to capitalize a bit on his name because he was so popular. And he was able to do that successfully. But, you know, he's not particularly that old. I think he's still in his 20s. So he's not going to keep bare knuckle fighting too much longer if he plans on earning a living doing it. And so I'm hoping that he can couple this into some sort of analyst position or something like that. You know, he also speaks very fluent Spanish. So he has a reach that's available that I guarantee that the vast majority of those bare knuckle fighters do not have that type of reach for. So, again, you can see a couple of names that have been able to turn it into something. But, again, this recent fight never would have happened if it wasn't for the Mayweather actual boxing match with Conor McGregor, where Paulie was a sparring partner with called Conor McGregor. None of this never would have happened. So Joe Rogan was talking about how they shouldn't use gloves in UFC. They should just use the bare knuckles. And after he's seen a few of these, he's now starting to change his tune on that. And he was saying that for years, that they shouldn't wear gloves, because in the early days of the UFC, they didn't wear gloves. But you're allowed to do, as we were saying off here, you're allowed to do so much more with an MMA fight, where you can grapple, you can, you know, use the open palm. There are other ways that you can strike. There are lots of kicking and everything, but you just can't do that with the bare knuckle FC.
Mm-hmm. Bob, you were talking about you'd rather get an elbow in the face than to have bare knuckles. You want to go on with that?
Yeah. A couple of weeks back, we were talking with Dr. Chris and stuff about, you know, the elbows in MMA or in Thai boxing, if you will. They got rid of the 12 to 6. And when I mean 12 to 6, it's like the up and down of a clock, and the clock is on the wall. That clock never changes. So you cannot bring that down on the back of someone's spine or into their eye socket for the back of their head, back of their neck for safety. But if you're like in someone's guard, you can, do a straight elbow to the top of their head or whatever like that. But getting away from the point, most people use the forearm type part of the elbow, and it's not, you know, yes, it's good for cutting, but it has to be set up. versus, you know, bare knuckle boxing. I got to give a plug to my coach, Maurice Smith, because, you know, like Joe Rogan said, you know, in the beginning there was no gloves. But then that was, you know, the jiu-jitsu guys came out, and then the Gracies did great till the wrestlers came washing mm-hmm. in. The wrestlers took over for several years. You know, your Mark Coleman's, Randy Couture's, all those guys. And then Maurice was the first, my coach, was the first to knock out Mark Coleman as a striker. And everyone was getting away from the striking in the beginning of the MMA. It just wasn't turning out that well with the bare knuckles. And then Maurice, you know, getting it with the head kick, a lot, you know, I think at that point it really, really morphed into mixed martial arts. I mean, people realized, hey, you can't just be great at jiu-jitsu. You can't just be a great wrestler. Mm-hmm. You can't be a great striker. You have to cross train. And then it put a large percentage of the strikes into the game again. And therefore, as a striker, just like Armstead said, the glove is to protect my knuckles, not your face, you know, because you're throwing with so much force. And, you know, if you were to put, I don't know, like a little circle around your face kind of thing with your hands, that's the only part you can cut anyway. So if you're using your knuckles, you want to hit right to the front of the face looking for a cut to get a fight stopping. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's ways, you know, if you're outmatched, you can use a sharp object, elbow, knuckle, something like that to try to get a cut. Chris Leben got so much scar tissue in his face already, he had no business going in.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, it's like Forrest Griffin, you know, one of my favorite fighters other than myself. but you know, he had a great career ahead of him, but had to pretty much pull the cord short because he had so much scar tissue in his face from all those cuts. He would get
right.
cut every time, and then the fight would be over on a cut. And you know, and so I mean, for the longevity of the sport, you got to pad up, you know.
Yeah.
Did you see the last Leben fight, his last UFC fight against Uriah Hall? And he got pummeled. I mean, you saw his face. I thought his nose was just going to fall off and land in his lap. I mean, and that's with gloves on. So to see him get in the bare knuckle FC, you know, and the last fight that he had was with a guy. I forgot the guy's name, but his reputation was he was pretty, you know, he's one of those guys that will stick his face in anything and take strikes left and right. And that was a brutal fight, and that wasn't that long ago. And Leben is still waiting to get the $90,000 he was promised from the other bare knuckle fight from that other organization. That is the guy who founded it. I think he's going to prison now. But that you know, and you know, Chris Leben, you know, yeah, you can see it in his face when he looks like he just had a fight every day of his life. He looks like he just finished fighting. He should not be in there anymore. He shouldn't.
Yeah.
He shouldn't.
Let me ask you another thing. You talked about was it Artem Lobov?
Yeah.
With the guy who just fought polymyalgia. Now he, because of the beating he gave Pauly, he's now eligible to fight at 122 pounds. Do you think he'll return to the MMA, or do you think he'll go to the WBC?
I personally think he's going to go boxing. I do. If he does return to MMA, I could see him possibly going to Bellator or one of the smaller, not smaller, but, you know, one of the lesser organizations. I can't see him getting another shot at the UFC. I think it's wise for him to probably go ahead and go into boxing because he can make more money and he's got a name right now. And people are people know who he is. He's getting pretty. He's become pretty popular. I think it's very wise for him to go ahead and move on to boxing before he starts, because this guy's had a lot of fights himself. You know, 30 mixed martial arts fights. That's a lot of fights, especially being only. I think he's 32. It's a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. What do you think, Bob?
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, smart move is the boxing. I mean. Because the money. I mean, you know, if you're silly enough to get punched in the head for a living like I did, I mean, go for the money. you know.
And you know what? And to be honest, I think I would watch it. If Lobov was getting a boxing match, I would definitely tune in for that. I would just to kind of that guy he's earned the respect. He's been around, and from just Cage Warriors to UFC to this bare knuckle fighting. Yeah, you know he can kind of be one of the guys that goes from MMA to boxing, which you're not seeing too much, and maybe he can turn into a career. Maybe he can get 10 to 20 good fights in him on maybe a regional circuit and get some pay-per-view points or something.
Yeah, but if you continue with that bare knuckle, you're just going to have so much scar tissue in your face. You're just not, you know, I mean, you.
Yeah.
No one's going to come out unscathed in a bare knuckle fight. You know, it's just.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His name is Jason Knight. That's who Lobov fought the first time. He looked like absolute garbage after this fight, man. He looked terrible.
The Valet Tudo still in Brazil, that still has bare knuckle. We should just leave it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because then you've got, you know, a lot of the guys that, you know, back in the day came, you know, your Wanderlei Silva, your Marco Ruas, you know, all the good Brazilians and stuff. You know, the Valet Tudo, you know, that turned into pie and all that stuff. You know, I fought over there in Brazil, and they don't give you that option. You're not wearing gloves. So that's over there. You know, we don't need to, you know, with as big as the and stuff's getting over here, and we want, you know, the boxing commission got in for a reason. Let's keep everyone safe. Let's make everyone athletes, you know. Yeah, you know, you're going in to beat another person, but again, you don't want to hurt that other person if you don't have to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they do that. They have this bare knuckle boxing over in the UK too, kind of that underground sort of gypsy bare knuckle boxing. And but you know those guys aren't making a dime off of that either.
No, it's broke. I mean, and you're not going to have your Fedors, your, you know, Miracle, all
no.
those bare knuckle guys anymore.
Yeah.
Hizos,
yeah,
there
was a young boxer that was floating around that we had talked to, that Bob and I had talked about off air. He had gone, this is going back 4 or 5 years ago, he'd gone into bare knuckle fighting originally it started down in New Orleans. And he even moved down there and he was doing all this. He was going to make $1 million like everybody else thinks. And, of course, once he got there and found out that the living conditions weren't what the promoter had said they were going to be, and the money from the fights was nowhere near. Yeah. So he ended up just moving back up to New York and just retiring from boxing altogether. And which is a shame because he was a pretty decent guy. But let me ask you about Sean O'Malley. What happened there? See, he pulled out of the UFC. You see it?
I didn't hear about
anybody
that.
Understand?
Yes. Yeah, Sean O'Malley is an interesting character. He really hasn't been able to get the ball rolling yet in his career. He had some pretty good fights on the Contender Series, Dana White's Contender, and he'd done the rounds as far as you know, getting his name out there, hanging out with Snoop Dogg. He's on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he had a really good decision win over Andre Sukumkov a little while ago, but he hasn't really been able to capitalize on that, mainly because he pulled out of a fight about a year ago. He pulled out of a fight, a little less than a year ago. And due to, what's the drug? Osterine. And, I mean, I'm unfamiliar with all these performance enhancers, but apparently he still has trace amounts in his system. And the issue now, as they're saying, is this a John Jones situation? Did he re-ingest, or is it just still lingering in his system because it's stuck in a kidney or in his liver or something like that, and they just can't get a couple of these trace amounts out of his system? So he went ahead and pulled out of the fight already. but, you know, they're saying it could be a residual from his failed test. Well, if it is a residual effect from his failed test, then he should be eligible to compete if he could finish his suspension. So there, but Nevada has a different say about this than, say, California. So, you know, remember when John Jones, they had to move the fight to California at the last minute because Nevada was like, whoa, what's this? So, again, UFC 239 is taking place in Nevada, so they're the ones that were like, hey, you still got something in your system. You can't – we don't know if you can fight yet because USADA is not giving him any they're not sanctioning him anymore. They're like, dude, we've already done our sanction with you for this particular thing, and it doesn't appear to them that he's re-ingested. So what doesn't make sense to me is why is Nevada State Athletic Commission seem to be on a different level of circumstance when it comes to these tests now versus all the other commissions in the country. And if that's the situation, then the UFC needs to figure out what they're going to do with Nevada, because that's where their biggest fights seem to happen. So it's a shame. I'm hoping Sean O'Malley gets going. He seems like a likable kid. He's a funny guy. He's a fan of the sport. And I'm hoping he gets somewhere. And he's a 135er too. And I know that division's kind of wide open with Cejudo now taking that double champ belt. That division's got a lot of space in there. So it's a shame that this had to happen to him. But hopefully he can turn this around and get his career back on track. He's still young. He's 24. Mm-hmm. But if USADA's not going to suspend him anymore, is he just going to wait for the next opportunity to fight outside of Nevada? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping a side eye on it, but hopefully he can get this together and get back in the octagon.
Good. Yeah, the last weekend was a heck of a fight. I don't know if you guys watched it. Jamal Charlo just took Jorge Cota to the mat in the third round. I mean, it was just a brutal left hook that just took him down. I don't know if did you guys have to see that.
I did not, no.
Jamal Charlo. No, I didn't. This is a box. Yeah, no, I didn't see this. Is this a guy, though? Is this an up-and-comer, or is this a guy we should be paying attention to coming up?
He is an upcoming. I guess he's moving from – he's a middleweight and has a lot of good background. However, you know, has some behavioral problems. So it's kind of held him down, but now he seems to have turned the corners. He's got a new management group out there, so he will he should be making a way up. He's now looking for some really heavy fights coming up in the very near future. So we'll see how that works out.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you take he didn't really get bounced around. He got a couple touches here, a couple touches there, but he just handled Cota like it was nothing.
Wow.
Call our next guest, and we'll just call him here on the line. Our guest is a young man who's we'll talk about. His name is Edner Cherry.
Hello?
Hi. Elizabeth, is Edna in?
Yes, he's right here. Hold on just a moment.
Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Hey, Edna, how are you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Doing great. Guys, this is a guy who is a true friend of ours, a true friend of our families and the program. Edner Cherrybaum Cherry was 37-7-2 with 19 knockouts. You know, for years they called a guy in Florida who was a tremendous boxer, Glenn Johnson. They called him the Road Warrior. But that's because they didn't really know that this guy, Mr. Cherry, used to go 100 miles each way to train every single day. And has faced many an obstacle in his young life, and we're going to talk about that right now, and has surpassed each and every one of them. His family's had some serious heart problems, some serious health problems, and he's weathered it. A man of true faith and a true character, and a great boxer, along with being a true friend to everybody he meets. So, Edner, why don't you give us an update on your health and how things are going?
Everything is going well with my health issue. You know, I'm feeling much more better. So right now, let me see where I can start off at. Let me see. So right now, I got a defibrillator in my chest for my heart. Because of the issue that happened, my heart had stopped. Then I died for like the 3 minutes. But I had somebody there at the right time to give me CPR, mm-hmm. to bring me back to life. And then now, so boxing is done for me and everything. But now, health-wise, I'm feeling much more better. But not 100%, but feeling great. And, you know, but, you know, I just thank God for being here. You know, I could have been dead and gone. But thank God for His grace and His mercy for being here.
Mm-hmm. Edner, so that everybody knows, some of the biggest fights that you had. How about the one we had here in Tampa, of course. But then you had a couple major fights that you were on TV with. So maybe you could come up with an answer. You know, just come up with a. A history of your fights.
Yeah, you know, especially, you know, where, you know, I have fought one of, you know, Timothy Bradley, you know, great experience, especially with Paul Manaji, which I heard he had fought in Tampa, bare fist knuckle, and, you know, mm-hmm. I fought with him, and, you know, I fought, you know, with some great guys, you know, through my boxing career, and you know, especially you know before this episode had happened, because you know I was gonna fight for the number one spot for the WBA title to fight Gervonta Davis, you know to fight Nunes, which Nunes is fighting Gervonta Davis in July next month, and you know that was one of the fights I was gonna get ready for, and you know the fight, you know, but I know I was gonna blow him out the water. I know I was gonna beat him. And, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I had some great fights, you know, and, you know, a great career. Then, you know, I can't complain, you know, can't complain.
Do you guys have any questions for Edner? Okay. Edner, let me ask you a couple questions now. I'm going to put you on the spot here as our resident boxing historian, because Dr. Chris isn't on. The Cotto fight. All of a sudden, Cotto is out because of a. Oh wait a minute! I'm sorry. Cotto was going to fight Tony Harrison, who withdrew at the last minute because of ankle injuries. Who do you think would be his replacement?
You know what? I don't really know. I mean they have some good fighters out there, and being honest, I don't like it because right now they got a lot of fighters in the hunt, and you know even like some of these fighters that's in the hunt looking for a title. Why not give them a shot and see if they're really ready, you know, for the top guys. And. And, you know, then, you know, fighting Cotto and this and that, and, you know, then I will really show them where they at. So, you know, like, it'll be great if they get one of the, like, you know, one of the top 15 guys that really that's in line waiting, you know, just to give them a shot and see if they really ready and really see if they truly that fighter that they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because my next question was going to be, you trained with one, you know, another good friend of ours, and I think one of the top fighters in the industry right now, with Keith Thurman. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of the press back and forth. Manny says this, Keith says that, and we both know that Keith is a gentleman outside the ring and a warrior in the ring. Now,
yeah.
If you had to, and you've trained with him, and I know that you've gone into camps with him.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that fight?
You know what? It'll be a great fight, Frank. It'd be a great fight because you got two warriors fighting. You got a young guy and you got a old guy that's still fighting that like he's young. Being honest, Frank, like the Keith that you seen that fought Danny Garcia, that fought Sean Porter, that fought his last fight. Keith he did not put 100% in camp for these fights, and he beat these guys. I mean, a tough fight because he had that elbow problem. Even when he was getting ready for Garcia, he didn't really like spar or because the elbow issue. Then when he was getting ready for Porter, he didn't spar at all. Then he put a great fight. So with this fight right here coming up, I think he's putting 100%, and he's putting all of the work in, and it will be a great fight, man. And you know, Manny Pacquiao was coming, which I know that he's coming in great shape. You know, he's not backing down, and it'll be a great fight, man. And you know, we have two warriors going at it, and you know. You know, the only thing I could say, man, you know, the best win that night. And, you know, but I really want my team to win. You know, I want Keith to bring it out, you know, bring the W. And, but, you know, just like what I was saying is you have two great fighters fighting. It could go either way. And, you know, that's what I love about this fight. And, you know, you don't know which way it will go.
Mm-hmm.
How many fights do you think Pacquiao has left? By the way, I'm just curious to hear from professional boxers.
Yeah.
If Pacquiao's won 70 fights, my name's Armstead, by the way. I'm more of an MMA fan, but I'd love to hear your take on just a guy that I've watched box for the last 20 years.
You know what? It's I would say Pacquiao still have more fights in him because. You have to realize Pacquiao, like, you know what I'm saying, we looking at the age. You know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of people are looking at. But being beat up in every fight like a punching bag, he's not in that position. He's still healthy.
Okay.
He's still like Bernard Hopkins. He's still beating young guys because he don't put himself in that position to make it a war every fight. Because these guys that make it a war every fight, they don't last that long. And it's probably like in their late 20s or like early 30s that they are done. They make every fight a war. But you know what I'm saying? I think Pacquiao still have more years than him because he been knocked out this and that, but. But yeah, he have a lot of fights, but he never been in a war every time. I mean, you know, if you look at his last couple of fights before Floyd Mayweather, he was in a tough fight, this and that, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're basically touching each other.
I'm saying he was in punch drunk, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Being all punched up, but yeah, I mean, he still got more years in him. He still got a few more years. I won't say he got one or two more fights, but I'll say he got a few more years. So this is the time that he has to be smart because you looking at right now, he's fighting the top notch people, and you know he's not like that type of fighter that they let them fight. You know what I'm saying? Like guys that have 8 fights or 10 fights or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But he's fighting an elite guy. He's still in that position. He's still on that top to fight any guys out there
in the top. So he's not washed up yet. Mm-hmm. He's not washed up yet.
Can I throw in one more question, Frank? Earlier we were talking about the bare knuckle fighting, and I just wondering if you're familiar at all with the new. It's not really new, I guess. The after 100 years of it being underground, the attempts to grow the popularity of bare knuckle boxing. I was wondering what your opinion would be of that, and just the bare knuckle boxing in general.
Man, that's crazy, man. I mean, why? You know, bare knuckles. I don't see that. I mean, MMA is enough of, like, they got little small, little tiny, 2-ounce gloves, whatever it is. And
4 ounce.
Now you want to go to bare knuckles and this and that, and I'm saying, especially I heard like Paulie, he went to bare, you know, dude, you've been boxing all your life with gloves, with bigger gloves, with 8-ounce gloves in the ring. So now you want to go? I don't care if it's like type of boxing, but when you go with no gloves or with like a 2-ounce, that's crazy, man. I'm saying that's crazy. Just like for example, just like Floyd Mayweather, he is smart. He did not call Al McGregor to go out in the octagon. He knew,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know what I'm saying, he either called McGregor in his turn, come in the ring, in the box, and let's put on like 10-ounce glove or whatever, then we'll fight. But what it would look like for going out in the octagon to fight, that's crazy. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Bob, you have a question?
Yeah, so Edner, I was looking at your record and stuff, so congratulations, Boxer of the Year in 2006 and all that kind of stuff. That's cool stuff, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, it's funny, you know, I'm an MMA guy as well. I was pro back in the day, retired now, but I did a one – no holds barred, no gloves, valet tudo fight. And it really, you know, and then coming from you or as a striker, you know, that's basically, those are your best weapons, your hands. And to not put some cushion on there, because a lot of people that don't fight don't realize that the gloves are for my protection, not your face.
Yeah.
You know? You hit somebody so many times, not in an area that can cut them, just like, you know, side of the head, back of the, you know, not like you're supposed to be rabbit punching, but, you know, any of these hard surfaces, and your hand just swells up, and it might as well be a 6-ounce glove. It just poof.
Yeah, I mean,
you should see Polly's hand now. I think it looks like a balloon.
Wow. Even I had Polly on a FaceTime, and like he had asked me if I was like if I was coming to the fight, because I have the work this and that, and you know, I was like, dang, it's crazy, man. Seeing like I was even just going in the box. Glove with 8 ounce, 2 ounce. Okay, yeah, that'd be much more better, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Edner, I've seen messages back and forth on, you know, Boxing 24 Fight News. Andy Ruiz says he's going to come back in. If he comes back for a rematch, he's going to come back lighter and faster. Then I see everybody warning Joshua not to take a rematch because they think that he's lost a step, that he's not able to keep up with him, and that he'll get hurt. What's your thoughts on that?
You know what? He's not just, you know how some fights that fucking relentless. And it's like, man, some fights, like you just don't take the rematch. Like, you just suck it up. Like, man, you know what? I'm going to just move on and fight somebody else, this and that. But, man, but I think the way I seen that guy fought and beat him, and it was probably like they was looking at this as like a stepping stone for Joshua, this and that. But it was the other way around, and then you look at that other guy like, man, no way. I used to like the talk of, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, what kind of shape this dude in? But he proved the world. He shocked the world. You know? Mm-hmm. But if I was, you know what I'm saying?
Given it is current. Wait, go ahead.
He needs much more than faster.
If you look at Ruiz's physique, though, he looks like an offensive lineman. There's definitely some muscle under there. He may have a layer on him, but I was like, but look at him, big old arm.
Yeah.
You see his chest, I watched his training videos. That guy hits like a tree. I mean, what a load he's got in his hands. So when you watch the fight, you saw it only took a couple of good touches before Joshua was really, really got his bell rung. And you saw he had great footwork, I thought, too. He had good head movement. And the fact that he was so much shorter, the way he was able to slip punches, I was really impressed with the way he fought that fight. I was. I was like, this guy's good. He didn't go out there and get lucky. He's good.
I
give the nod to Ruiz in a rematch. I think that's the toughest fight Joshua's ever had.
I mean, if he won the rematch, man, I don't think he might, like, he'll win again. I mean, I don't think he'll win. But, like, because in his mind, it'll be the same thing, like, hey, I don't want to get stopped again. And I want to be careful. I want to try to find a way to try to win this fight. And, you know, when you get knocked out or get stopped, it's always behind your mind. Like, man, I don't want to get stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get knocked out. Just like it reminds me of Cowboy and Roy Jones. The second fight, you can see that Roy Jones, man, I don't want to get knocked out. He got to be careful in that fight. I don't want to get knocked out again. But, you know what I'm saying? Because the mind is like, man, you know, I don't want to lose. At the same time, you don't be active. You're not throwing punches. So I think the same thing can happen again. You know.
Yeah, he was getting touched up that fight. I was like, he's owning him. I mean, he was owning the fight. He really was.
Yeah.
You know, on the undercard of that fight was a good fight too. Guillermo Reganial, who hasn't fought in about 13 months, won a TKO over Julio Seja. Did you see that fight at all? Did anybody see that fight?
No, I didn't see that fight.
Yeah, it was it was another good fight, but it only lasted three rounds because he took him down, which is great because, you know, Reganial wants to get back in the game. I think it's for the same reason that Bob said earlier about some of the fights that people do. I think he needs the paycheck. And many a time, no matter who we talk to, Tony Thompson used to say the same thing. Tony was a heavyweight out of Washington, D.C. He's a good friend of ours. And he had like eight kids. So he worked at the he's a TSA agent out of the ring. But his wife and his wife was his agent. And he set up some very good fights over in the – but all his fights were generally in England because he knew he could make more money. And he used to say at the end of every fight, this is what it's for. I'm here to make money. Say what you want, but I'm fine. And so I think that's where a lot of that stuff goes. Andrew, what do you think about Eddie Hearn says that Wilder's going to fight sometime in November. And he's coming off with about four or five different names. One, do you think Deontay is going to be ready by then? And two, who do you think would be it? Because it's still a TBA.
I don't know if they have mentioned his name again, but I would love to see him fight King Kong again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to see that fight. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see that. That one like that, yeah. But,
mm-hmm.
yes, sir. That's the fight I want to see. But I think King Kong will give him a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he looked. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because I think King Kong, his last fight when he fought
Brazil.
Brazil. I forgot his name. I forgot the name. I think that was the last person who he fought. I forgot his name. I forgot.
Yeah. Okay. Now we got Tyson Fury also wants to get another fight in this year, hopefully in November. Here's a question. He's from Europe, of course, Ireland. Came into the ring dressed in the American flag for his shorts. And a lot of people in the trades made light of that because, he really isn't an American. It doesn't make a difference. Do you think that he would be ready in November? And, his last fight, the gate was not anywhere near what they were expecting. He better have made some good money off the purse because he didn't make diddly squat off the door.
Mm.
So he's going to have to... go ahead.
I think with the way the whole with the zone and the distribution deals they're signing with these companies, like I think Tyson Fury signed with ESPN, it's gonna be more challenging for them to set up these fights. And because you're now there's just now so many more players in the game now. And it's too bad for us fight fans. I don't put my hands in anybody's pocket. You know, I want these boxers. They're in there. These fighters are in there. All you guys are putting your bodies on the line for our entertainment as well. So I want to see the fighters succeed as much as possible. I really think that these guys do want to fight each other, but they have to make sure that all of them are going to be compensated accordingly. And I would just hope that gets worked out because, you know, you looked at the last opponents for Fury and for Wilder, and, I mean, both of them are not – they weren't even close to the level to be competing with those guys, and you could see it in the fights. I mean, Tom Schwartz was turning his back every chance he had against Tyson Fury. So it really wasn't much of a fight. So, you look at Schwartz, he hadn't fought outside of Germany, and – then he comes and fights in MGM in Nevada this is the mecca of fight sports is in Vegas. So
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they have to figure this out quickly before the interest in these fights starts to wane, because in the heavyweight division it seems like it had kind of fallen out for a little while. Now you got all this interest again with three top fighters. One of them just took a huge loss. Now you got four fighters that are now draws. Get it together. Get these guys out there and get the eyes back on the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, And are you and Keith Thurman and Miguel Mikhail, all trained in the a gym here in St. Petersburg?
Yeah.
Under the tutelage of a great coach, a great great man, and a good friend of ours, Dan Birmingham. Dan is a name, you know, throughout the world. Excuse me. Having coached Winky Wright and then Jeff Lacy, you know, Keith Thurman, yourself, Mikhail seems to be coming up. Mikhail's hands are fast.
Yes.
You know, I'd love to see Mikhail and Thurman go at it. I imagine that would be a merciful session. But can you give us a little background on Dan and what it's like to work for a guy like that?
Man, Dan said, you know, since I've been training with Dan Birmingham, he a great trainer. You know, everyone is different, man. I'll say he's different. Like, you know how you have a boxing coach, but he teach. I mean, he just don't, like, train you just like, okay. But he makes sure he's watching, make sure you doing, the things right. And, you know, he's like a teacher. And, you know, that's what's so great about him. So that's why he was named, like, the trainer of the year, like, a couple of times. And, you can see how, you know, when he trained Winky, Jeff Lacy, Keith right now, then I train Mikhail, and you can see the, like, you know, the way he brings these guys to the next level, great fighters. And that's what's so great about Dan Birmingham, man. He know his stuff. He know, I mean, he been around for so many years around boxing. That's what he live boxing, eat boxing, he breathe boxing, and that's him. And, you know, that's what I love about him. That's why I went to him. That's why I pick him as a trainer. And, you know, it's so sad that that I had to hang it up because of medical issue. And, you know, it's sad. It's like, oh man, you know.
Yeah, but I'm sure Miss Elizabeth is very happy that she now has you back full time
yes.
You two get along so well.
Family, you know.
Everybody should know that you should be that we're proud to say is good friends of ours. But everybody that meets them says the same thing. Because of their attitude, their faith, and their drive to just be the best of everything, and it's just amazing that things have come this full tilt. But we want to thank you for a great interview as always, and please thank Miss Elizabeth and the kids for allowing you to be on here with us for this time. We really appreciate it. And
yes,
I am going to try and get over next week. But every time I say I'm coming next week, I run into some kind of a problem. But I make a promise I will be over next week.
Okay.
I'll call you on Monday and we'll set something up.
Yes, right? Yes, sir, definitely. I would love
Thanks,
to
Edna.
See you. All right.
Thank you. Good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
All right. You
Thank
too.
You, Chair.
All right. Thanks.
Guys, we're just at the end of our time limit here. So, Bob, do you want to lead us out?
Sure, yeah. Again, it was great talking with Mr. Cherry, Andrew Cherry, and going over stuff. It was good to have Armstead back after his vacation. I want to thank everybody. It's always a pleasure, you know, sharing stories with everybody and picking fights apart. And until next week, I just want to say thanks.
Okay. Armstead?
Yeah, definitely. Bob, it's always good chatting with you again. But we'll catch up. We'll catch up sometime this week, I'm sure. And looking for something to watch. Huge fight this weekend: Francis Ngannou, Junior dos Santos, Saturday night, 9:00, for probably a number one contender spot for the heavyweight title for UFC. So it's a good card for
nice.
A free card on ESPN. So check that out.
Great. Well, guys, I want to thank all of you for being on. You did a great job tonight, as always. I appreciate your input, and always makes a great show when you have guys that that can talk as fluently as you guys can in all genres of the fight game. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge and let them know that you know they're there. Handshake the wink, or the best thing you can ever say is, be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofre Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longo Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Sagas, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Yosemite Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Yosemite Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Islands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Morales, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, and Officer Robert McKenna, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a safe week.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ma hezahir ma, son ashen evorat fet, hakuig again ma yelama.
Shame on it, my dear, my.
Dispatch at 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.
Bob, we love you and we miss you.